Little Bob here. It's America's 250th birthday, so shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. We've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving and those signature Bob-a-pedic seats. So stop into Bob's Discount Furniture or shop online at mybobs.com, where America shops for furniture.
Odyssey celebrates Father's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
The road to the MLB All-Star Game presented by MasterCard starts with you. Who will take the field this July? The power is in your hands. Phase one of the 2026 Konami eBaseball MLB All-Star ballot is open. Vote up to five times daily for your favorite stars. And get a bonus daily vote by downloading the Konami eBaseball MLB Pro Spirit game. Top vote getters advance for the chance to be a starter. Cast your ballots at MLB.com/vote. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's identity refreshing!
Look, boys and girls.
It's wild, it's wacky, it's slick, it's savvy, it's the madcap daffy, fracture, ding-a-ling, ring-a-ding, loony, zany, side-splitting, rib-tickling, slap-happy, scuzzy, dreary, irksome, tedious, banal, pointless, smutty world of...
The Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
I've had a pretty uniform existence. I could depend on things. I mean, there's been upheaval, but it's all just happening at once.
That's true.
Jeff Lutz.
This is all happening now. It's not going to happen over the next 15 years.
Oh, that's true.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome. It's a Tuesday edition, the Bob and Jeff Show here on KFH Radio. Bob Lutz, Jeff Lutz with you for the next couple of hours as we wind down here on the Bob and Jeff Show. We got a bunch of guests today. Jeff Lutz is with me as co-host. Max Power back in our studio. Brent Chemnitz will join us at approximately 5:20 this afternoon. Longtime Shocker pitching coach. Just had a performance lab named after him at the Wichita State Baseball Complex.
There's one thing I think of when I hear the name Brent Chemnitz. It's two things, actually. One is performance. The other is lab, so there's no better...
What does that mean?
There's no better guy to have a
Did
performance...
Did you try that out?
No, that was perfect.
What does it mean?
Whatever you want it to mean. Haven't you seen Kings of Comedy? I go to computer...
Yeah, they were funny.
I go to computer school. Well, nothing about you says computer or school.
So you're telling me Chemnitz, nothing about him says performance.
Or lab.
Well, I'm going to tell him you said that.
No, I love Brandon. Of course he has earned and deserves... that honor. What all is going into the performance lab? I know this was announced last night. Do we have any?
Not last night at the Shocker First Pitch Banquet.
Well, I thought that was last night.
No, that wasn't last night.
It was like
night.
Saturday, right?
Saturday. Yes.
Okay. I get my days confused.
So we'll visit with Brent coming up at 5:20. At 5:40, Jesse Newell from the Kansas City Star. And we'll go deeper into the Chiefs as we did with Adam Teicher yesterday, but these are really interviews kind of to say thank you for everything you've contributed to this show over the years. And Jesse has been front and center in our Chiefs coverage here on the Bob and Jeff Show, so we look forward to talking to him. 3 o'clock, Wichita Sunrise Academy coach Kyle Lynch said we got a big tournament coming up in Wichita this weekend. He'll be leading Sunrise into that tournament. They are, of course, as always, nationally ranked in the high school rankings across the country. All these years, I don't think Wichita has ever quite figured out what to do with Sunrise.
What do you mean?
Here they are. They're in our community, and we don't quite know what to do. We don't know how to go see them. I guess we can go see them at this tournament this
week.
Yeah,
of course.
But do they count as... You know, to me, Buddy Hield's a Wichitan. He's a graduate of Sunrise Academy.
Then claim him.
Why can't I claim him?
Well, mostly because he's a Bahamian, but if you want to call him a Wichitan.
But if you graduate from high school here, aren't you one of us?
I don't know. You'd have to ask Buddy how he feels about that. He's playing with the Sixers. I'm sure they're coming into...
I thought he was with the...
Warriors. Yeah. Whoever he's with. I'm sure they're coming into Oklahoma City at some point. You can go down and ask him.
Well, I've always enjoyed Buddy Hield. I like watching him play, especially at OU.
Not with the Indiana Pacers.
And at 6:20 today, Derby football coach Brandon Clark will join us. Brandon, part of our army of high school coaches that we've interviewed here over the years, and Brandon's been on many times. Of course, he coaches at my alma mater. Have we ever had a North High coach on the show?
Randy's been on.
We had their soccer coach, Cliff Wolfschlager.
It's Kurt Wolfschlager.
Was
he on?
Yes. Cliff, you went to high school with.
Kurt was there too, but he's my sister's age, so I don't know if we ever actually were in the same school together. I think he's 4 years ahead.
I remember a lot of those kids you went to high school with. Their names.
Sure.
Yeah, you coming up on a reunion, aren't you?
I don't know.
25-year reunion?
Next year, I guess that would be.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do we have reunions anymore? It's like they're like weekends for alumni. They don't actually do class-by-class thing. We need to figure that out.
Derby had its 50th year reunion for my class.
Wait, I'm only 25 years behind you? That's crazy.
Just last year, 2023. What am I thinking? Yes. 2023.
All right, 28 years behind. That's a little better.
Oh, you're coming up on me.
Yeah, but I'll never catch you, and that's what counts.
1 month from today, the big 7-0. Can you imagine?
Feeling good about it?
Have you regarded me as an old person?
Oh, yeah.
For how long?
15, 20 years.
Really?
Yeah, once you hit 50... And I'm still rolling here at 22. Yeah, you're an old guy.
So you've regarded me as old?
Sure.
Do I act old?
It's a loaded question. I don't know. I don't really know what that means.
See, you're neither. You're like not an old soul. You're not a young soul.
I'm both.
You're just there.
I'm just me, man.
Yeah, you're just there.
I make no apologies.
And we appreciate you.
For my personality, it's not probably going to change a whole lot.
Well, it doesn't need to change.
That's what I'm saying.
Now, we're not going to, this is going to be our last week. We won't be on for Valentine's Day, 10 days from today. So I'm going to go ahead and ask you, have you made any plans?
No.
Will you?
I don't know what we're going to do for Valentine's Day.
Is that an important holiday for you
personally? I don't know. It's well regarded. I don't know if it's super important. Maybe we'll go out to dinner. I just like spending time with the kid, you know? The kid being my wife.
Well, you can do that in a romantic way, can't you?
Well, it's always romantic.
I mean, I don't know.
Anytime you get together and have, you know, alone time, it's a romantic thing. And it doesn't have to be sweep somebody off their feet with red roses and, you know, wear a tuxedo out and, you know, do all that. Just spending time together. That's plenty romantic.
So my wife will hear this because she's upstairs as we do the show. So yesterday, you know, we've been having a series of people, including yours truly, take her back and forth to Wellington when she has to work because currently her eyesight is a little off and she's not driving, although we hope that's rectified shortly. So we've had this group of people, and we found somebody who lives here in Wichita but works in Wellington.
Nice.
Carter Green. You know who I'm talking about?
I do.
He's Jamie Green's husband.
Correct.
So I took her out to their house yesterday morning, and he transported her to Wellington, which is tremendous. We very much appreciated it. But I get a text from my wife, and I don't know if she's hearing this.
she probably is.
She'd probably kill me, and she may. But I get a text from my wife yesterday I told her to notify me when she got there. And she said, I just arrived. Everything's good. She asked me about something. I said, okay. And she says, I really like Carter. He's a genius. And I said, genius? She said, yes. And I said, how so? And she said, I'll talk to you later. And how would you feel?
He's a smart guy by all accounts.
No question, but how would you feel? How should I feel?
Well, I don't think you should feel any kind of way at all. There's no, what do you think you should feel?
I shouldn't feel like, wait a minute, she's never told me I'm a genius.
No, there's a reason for that.
Why do you think that is?
I assume it's because you're not a genius, but
borderline?
I don't think so.
Why would you say that?
A genius?
Why would you say
you're
that?
A smart guy, but I don't know. I don't know if it rises to the level of genius.
Well, haven't I done a couple things?
Did we get to the bottom of why Carter's a genius?
Well, he's a musician, and he does scores, and he plays many different instruments. And my wife, being interested in music, found that to be indicative of genius.
Well, he might be a musical genius. That's pretty impressive
work.
Well,
she didn't say musical genius.
Well, there's levels to it. You know, I don't know if he's going to be a NASA technician. Maybe he can, but if his genius is in music, I suppose that counts.
So wait a minute, for you,
if it was someone maybe around my age or someone that they had regular contact with, I might just be taken aback a little bit, but this isn't, this doesn't seem that threatening to me.
What if I'd gotten a ride from a woman 15 years younger than me, 20 years younger, I don't know, whatever, and texted back to my wife, boy, this woman's a genius.
I don't think she'd be threatened at all.
Why are you going along with, why aren't you supporting me?
You asked me, though. What support do you need?
Oh, just, I understand how you feel, Dad. I mean, it's, you know,
even say you felt a way. You just asked how should you feel.
I just felt like, wait a minute, what? We go right from, okay, thanks for the ride. You're a genius? I mean,
the first instinct would be, what about me? But once we've solved that, I don't know. Is there anything else?
You know, in 30 minutes in the ride from West Wichita to Wellington, we've determined.
That's a little more than, that's probably 45
that
minutes.
A genius? I mean, she's been on many rides with me. What am I?
Well, if you're driving that fast, then maybe she's too scared.
I don't know what that means.
You can't get from West Wichita and to Wellington in 30 minutes.
Well, close.
Hmm.
It's Wellington's about 24 miles, 27 miles from Wichita. Once you get on the turnpike at mile marker 42, the exit for Wellington is mile marker 19, and then it's about 4 miles into Wellington.
Well, let's see. I'm going to get the maps up. From here to Wellington, maybe it is 30 minutes. Maybe I'm just way off here. But I'll look. Wellington, Kansas, 41 minutes.
From where we are right now, yes. But from mile marker 42, which is the South Wichita Turnpike Exchange, to Wellington is 23 miles.
Okay.
And then it's another 4 miles.
Well, you don't live at mile marker 42.
Where Debbie works. What I'm saying is, I think I'd need more than 30 miles to determine whether someone's a genius.
Fair enough.
Maybe a few rides.
Yeah, maybe.
Because I've given a lot of rides to my wife, and not once has she returned from one of those and said, well, you're a genius.
Do you talk to her?
Sure I do. I tell her all the things I know.
Well, maybe that's why she doesn't think you're a genius. Maybe it's too one-sided for her.
I don't know. You've not been of help at all.
I'm not really trying to
be. You don't really take these situations and run with them.
What do you want me to say?
You don't feed off of them. You don't add to the conversation.
I could.
Right.
But I just chose
not. Why don't you?
I don't know, man. What day is it?
What's wrong, man?
There's nothing wrong.
What's eating you?
Nothing.
What's got you?
I'm all good.
Talk to me.
I'm fantastic.
Let's let the people know.
There's nothing to let people know.
Talk to me.
Pete, you're not L.A. Knight.
I know how to console.
I don't need consolation. I'm not sad about anything.
Well, what's the matter, though?
I'm not upset.
You don't know what day it is?
Yeah, I'm trying to. Yeah, I do know what day it is.
You're a little down?
I wouldn't say that.
What are you?
It's kind of cold outside. I didn't enjoy that.
Now, I get a kick out of changing topics. You know, Misty's down here for most of our shows. And I worry about her when we cease to be doing this. Today she crawled up on Jason Duda's chair.
She did.
Dragged down the blanket and laid on it for
a while. Resting on it. I thought that was a heck of an effort by Misty. And now she knows she's being talked about. So she's coming
down from the chair
for a little affection. And I'm more than happy to give her that affection because she's a good puppy dog.
She's a unique, unique dog.
It was a great, great animal.
Yes, thank you. That makes me feel better.
Well, of course. I would never say a cross word about Misty.
Well, Misty's great. She's just makes everyone feel like they're the most important person. And that's awesome.
When in fact, she's the most important person.
Because anybody who comes to the house, Misty gives you a 5-star greeting. Now, she's over it pretty quickly, but for 2 or 3 minutes, it's like,
well,
whoa.
I think the 5-star experience continues after that she's over it because she wants to show you around. Maybe she'll perform for you. She'll go to where you're located and keep you company.
She's very giving. And if we, last night, now we're at the mode now, you know what the show is. We're now at a point where she wants to do 3 or 4 per night.
Excellent.
And just can't get enough. And it's turned into mostly a barking excursion.
Well, whatever she needs to do to get that out of her system and be ready for her slumber, I think it's fantastic.
All right, Max, we've come to the point where we need a break. We'll take that break. Brick Chemnitz will join us when we return. Longtime Shocker pitching coach, currently working in development at Wichita State. Just had a performance lab named in his honor for all the work he did for many years as Wichita State's pitching coach. Back in a minute with Brent Chemnitz.
It's America's 250th birthday, and I'm going to shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, they've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas with genuine leather seats, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving, charging, storage, and those signature Bob-opedic seats. So, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Odyssey celebrates Father's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Introducing the all-new MLB Plus, your ticket to streaming baseball's best.
Let's go!
Enjoy MLB Network 24/7 with live out-of-market games and award-winning shows. Enhance game nights with MLB Big Inning, live and commercial-free. And hear live home and away radio broadcasts of every game, blackout-free. Even stream minor league games all season. It's all here and it's all new. Get MLB Plus for just $59.99 a year. Visit MLB.com/MLB Plus.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's absolutely refreshing!
This is the Bob and Jeff Show on 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Last dance. Last chance for love.
Love this song. Last Dance from Donna Summer. The Last Waltz, a musical theme for the week here on the Bob and Jeff Show. Here's Brent Chemnitz joining us on the hotline, longtime pitching coach, Wichita State, currently involved in development for the Shockers. And at the Wichita State first pitch banquet the other night, he got the surprise announcement that Wichita State's named a performance lab in his honor. Hey, Brent.
Bob, how are you?
We're doing good. So Jeff had this to say earlier about this honor for you. He said, Brent's the first person I associate with performance and lab. Thoughts?
Absolutely. Analytics, anything to do with performance, laboratory, anything technical, computer-like, I'm the name that pops into everybody's head first. So it was very fitting for sure.
No question. Well, congratulations on that. Long overdue, and we're proud of you and happy to have that happen. So let's talk about baseball. Certainly a festive atmosphere at the first pitch banquet. What do you think of Brian Green and his team coming up this season? My goodness, it starts in less than 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's crazy. We had a little function at Coke Arena this morning where Christy Bridbinner and Brian Green addressed, you know, some of our boosters. And they're like 10 days out. What's today, Tuesday? They start on a week from Friday. It's 10 days. Christy starts this weekend. It always sneaks up on you. I remember in the coaching days, it's only 9 years ago. It seems like a lifetime in some ways. But I did that for 38 years. And when, you know, the new year passes and all of a sudden you have 5 or 6 weeks and you play. So it's on us. It's here. I'm legitimately optimistic. You always give me a hard time and say, you know, everything is beautiful for me. I'm the promoter. But I legitimately think we're going to be much better. We were a pitch away from getting to a regional last year, which is, you know, extremely difficult when you think about him taking over a roster with like 3 or 4 players. So I think a lot of good things, you know, and you mentioned the first pitch banquet. Yeah, I think we had close to 600 there, which may have set a record.
Yeah, and I'll go back to the performance lab because I saw the video that Kevin Saul or the baseball program put out on social media, and you were moved to tears, and I thought that was very sweet in a good way, of course. I don't know how you feel about the word sweet, but it was sweet. What that moment caught you off guard, am I wrong?
Well, yes, it did. Let's get one thing out there right now. I would suck as a coach right now. I'm way too soft. You know, it's cold out today. There's zero chance I'd want to be outside. When it's windy, I want to get inside. So I come to tears. Gene, we're tearing up. We're like the two softest guys in Wichita. I think having a building or a lab or whatever named after you is not something that pops into your head. Everybody says, did you know? Were you surprised? Any idea? The only thing that I maybe should have picked up on, in November, we're in Kansas City with the Hoop team, and we played St. Louis. And I told Kevin Saul, I said, hey, I think I was with him and a couple boosters. I said, hey, I think I have somebody that would be a good possibility for the pitching lab, for the naming. And I had Tommy Hotovy in my head, pitching coach for the Cubs, who I've stayed really close to. And Kevin almost immediately said, no, it's great. We have something in mind for that. So I just kind of moved on. I didn't delve and say, well, what are you thinking or anything like that. I immediately went on to the next thing. So I maybe should have picked up on that. And then when they did the itinerary for the evening, you know, I co-emceed it with Mike Kennedy, and I'm very anal. I look at the notes and who's here and segues and this and that to make sure it moves quickly. And at the end, it just said special announcement or special recognition. And I never asked. I never said, hey, what's this? But anyway, I was touched. I was flattered. I was legitimately emotional, teared up, but very, very honored. It's something that I think is really cool.
Brent Chemnitz is our guest. Now, you would be the first to admit that things have changed in college baseball, not only with the transfer portal and NIL, but in the way pitchers are taught. I mean, it's become a far more, you joked about being analytical, and not that you aren't, but you coach more from the heart and instincts and getting to know your individual pitchers and what made them tick and how you could reach each one of them. What are your thoughts on where pitching is today?
You bring up a lot of good points. So, yeah, the pitching laboratory performance lab, I have had more than one person say, do that picture perfect, kind of in a fun way. Because, yeah, the analytics and the data and all that stuff, I said, that's great. My data is get three dudes out before they score. That's my one thing that I stick to. And as you always have said, keep the ball down.
But absolutely.
It's not something that I go back to the conversation I have with so many pro guys. I'm going to call them old school guys, guys like David Chad, Jim Henry, some of those guys that are still in the game, Greg Miller. They say, okay, here's the deal. There's plenty of old school guys still there, but if you want to keep your job, you better be well aware of the analytics. You can't stiff arm it. You need to use it. But my deal is, and they will say this when pressed a little bit, there's still guys in the game that say, hey, if you get too wrapped up in that, we're in trouble. So I think information's good, but I think the key, and this goes back to me with the pitchers I had forever, the genius in coaching is figuring out what makes each guy click, like you said. Some guys want information, and they can use it, and it benefits them. Some guys, you better just keep it as simple. You better dumb it down. We had a guy named Don Heinkel, the first All-American. I had him in my first 4 years here. Went on to be the winningest pitcher in college baseball history. And he was very analytical. He wanted information. He was able to, you know, use it to his advantage. Went on to become a doctor, pitched in the big leagues, you know, Don Heinkel. So, Don, it was great, even in my early years. Had a guy named Ryan Elkert, college pitcher of the year in 82. And he needed, you know, some adjustments with his delivery. So I took this old school, whatever you called him in 1981 and 82, and filmed him, showed it to him, and said, look, you're arching off. You need to stay level. You need to not come and force it and go too over the top. So we used it way, way, way back when, but now it's much more advanced. It's usable. I'm thrilled we have Anthony Clagg at our pitching coach. I told him, I said, this lab's perfect. And I'm thrilled that we have it, but thank God it's you and not me, because I go back to the old paralysis, my analysis. I was be under control, get to a power position, throw downhill out front, and then, yes, talk every dude up. Get dudes to believe they were better than they probably were, and individualize it. So that was my style, figure out what makes each guy click.
Yeah, you know, we hear a lot about in baseball how things are cyclical and the trends over time will change and how people play the game and approach the game. But that was when there wasn't nearly as much information available. And now it's oversimplified, I think, but there's a lot of velocity and there's a lot of launch angle and hard hit percentage. Is this permanent in your mind? Is this an element that will become cyclical? We have all the information in the world, and it doesn't seem to be changing. So will it ever?
Well, that's a great question. And I don't think analytics or whatever term you want to use or all the stuff they have, the technology, it's not going to go away. I think the guys that are going to be really good are the guys that know how to use it without hiding behind it, so to speak. I mean, it's like, okay, this is good information. My deal was always three things with the fastball. And Bob Luce knows this because he took our baseball pitching class, or our theory of baseball, and aced it. There's three things with the fastball. There's velocity, there's command, and there's movement. Number one is command. A spotted fastball is the best pitch in baseball, and that's never going to change for me. Spy your fastball. Second's movement, late life, sink, run it in, whatever. And third's velocity. But I never downplayed velocity. What velocity will do is it maybe gives you a bigger margin of error. But if you just have velocity, guys are going to be able to you know, gear up for it and turn it around in a hurry. But velocity can give you more margin of error. If you're a high school kid throwing 90, you may throw it by some guys with slow bats. If you're in college throwing 95, you're probably going to be able to throw it by some guys. So every level, I never downplay velocity, but it's still third for me. Spotting up's one, movement two, velo three.
Rick Kimnitz, our guest for the final time, at least for the foreseeable future here on the Bob and Jeff Show. So you talked about some pitchers that you've worked with, and you could go on and talk about dozens of them. Which pitcher overachieved the most in your time at Wichita State? I'm going to throw two names out there and see if they stick, because neither of these guys was very big. Neither of them threw exceptionally hard, but both of them had shocker Hall of Fame careers. Travis Wycoff and Charlie Gendron. Would those two be near the top of your list?
Well, they would, and both were All-Americans. Travis Wycoff made our all 25-year team. Sometimes he relieved, sometimes he started. He was that guy that just gave me the day off. So you could definitely put him in that category. Charlie Gendron, he was inducted a year ago into the Wichita State Hall of Fame. Once again, All-American. I tried to get him to redshirt. That's how smart I am, when he was a freshman, because I didn't think he'd get a lot of time. And he said, hey, it's going to do me no good. I'm going to be here 4 years. And those years he stayed for, unless he signed after three, he said, it will do me no good because I'm going to med school. I'll graduate in 4 years. He said, I understand. I've got a lot of work to do, but whatever innings you can get me, if I earn them, that's great. We ends up being a freshman All-American, wins a game in the regional in Fresno, and was winning. I don't think he got the win, but he the game we beat Florida State, national championship year, I think he gave us six innings. So he was a guy that definitely overachieved. A couple other guys, that Kenny Steenstra. I mean, Kenny Steenstra in high school, now he was a winner. He was like the all-time winningest high school pitcher ever. From a small town in Missouri, I went to see him. He's 82, 84, but he had a good changeup. I don't know. It was just a gut feel from my end. I didn't hide behind velocity. He came in here 1 year, went 17-0, and actually did pitch in the big leagues. So Kenny comes into my head, and then there's some other guys that just maybe overachieved. You look at a Pat Cedeno, the number two guy on the national championship team. Actually, Brummett. I mean, Brummett did pitch in the big leagues and was an All-American. But he's a guy that Northwest High School, 86, 88. I heard Norm DeBrien one time, the then coach at Arkansas, said, you guys take Brummett, he's 86, 88. Every high school kid in America that went on to play in college was 86, 88. All of a sudden, this guy's an All-American. He's winning games in Omaha. So there's a ton of them. It's easy to remember the Dreyfuss and the Pelfreys and the Loopers, the freak of nature talents, and I did have Randy Johnson in Alaska, but it took him a lot of years to figure it out. So something I learned early on, if you recruit some dudes, some talented dudes, and talk them up a level, they make you look good.
Randy Johnson still talks about you quite often.
as he should. Actually, I did some guys that played with him in the big league. Guys like Dreyfuss, and they said, yeah, Randy Johnson, he said to tell you hello. And I was like, he remembered me. I had him in 84 in Anchorage. People will say, okay, who's the best pitcher you ever had? And they're thinking I'm going to pop out, you know, Looper or Pelfrey or Dreyfuss or one of them. And I said, well, actually, it's not that hard. It's a guy named Randy Johnson. I had him in Alaska. So that's kind of an easy way out on the question. And then I get into the Wichita State guys. But I say, if I helped Randy Johnson, it took him like 6 years to sink in, because I had him in 84 and he didn't really come into his own till like 89 or 90.
Well, Brent, we always have enjoyed our conversations. They'll continue, just not on the air for a while. We'll see what happens. But thank you for being on our show so frequently over the years, and for making the Wichita Treasure Show really a Wichita treasure.
Well, yeah, I'm glad you teed me up for that. This makes me sad. I saw that, so then I texted you. I was worried when they moved your slot, and then you said, well, it really doesn't change anything for us. We just tape it. And I still didn't like the feel of that, so I hate it. I hope you guys come back. Well, one quick question. I know you got to go on. What was your favorite time slot? 7 to 9, 9 to 11, 2 to 4, 4 to 6, or obviously a 1, 5 to 7. Did you have a favorite?
Without League 42, I'd probably say 4 to 6. But I'd say 9 to 11 was perfect. You're done by 11. You're on, you can go to the bars then around noon. It's all good.
Exactly. Then everything comes together at the bar in the afternoon. So, well, you guys have had a great run. I hope you take a little time off and come back, because even though I give you guys a hard time, it's always very entertaining. And you guys, to anybody that has done any radio, for you guys to sustain it that long is phenomenal. So congratulations.
Thanks, Brent.
Thank you.
And congratulations to you, and we'll talk soon.
Sounds good. Have a good day.
Brent Chemnitz from Wichita State. Jesse Newell, our guest from the Kansas City Star, Chiefs beat writer. His final appearance on the Bob and Jeff Show. Many more appearances on other shows, I'm sure, to come for you, Jesse. Welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So we had Adam Teicher on yesterday, but we can't get too much Chiefs, obviously, as they're trying to win their third in a row down in New Orleans against the Philadelphia Eagles. What has to happen for that to happen? What, if you had a list of here's what the Chiefs have to do, what would be the top two or three on that list?
Yeah, I mean, I think it starts with, this reminds me a little bit of the Super Bowl a couple of years ago, where if you're just going up and down the roster, you're saying, well, the Eagles are probably better here, and they're probably better here, and they're probably a little better here. But where they aren't always better is the quarterback position and the head coach position. I know it's maybe often taken for granted now, but like Patrick Mahomes played his best game of the season last week against the Bills, and him playing his best game of the season or close to it in this game is going to be really important for the Chiefs because, you know, he's got some obstacles to overcome. The other part of this, I just think the Chiefs have done a really good job all year of stopping the run, but Saquon Barkley has kind of been a different animal for the Eagles, and not only has he been able to be efficient with his runs, but sometimes when you don't get him down early, he turns a 10-yard run into an 80-yard run and completely flips the game. And, you know, they run the ball at a rate that basically nobody else does. They are totally comfortable just giving that thing back to him and believing that he can not only get 7, 8, 9-yard gains, but also can get, you know, 60, 70, 80-yard gains as well. So I think stopping the run is obviously important for the Chiefs because of the way the Eagles play. But top of the list is kind of always in these situations, which is Patrick Mahomes always, these games always seem to bring out his absolute best, especially late in games. And if that can happen again, then the Chiefs are obviously going to have a shot in this thing.
What areas, you know, outside of just having Mahomes, do the Chiefs have to really assert themselves? Because you're right, it's probable that the Eagles have a better overall roster, and you say, well, they have to stop the run, and they have to battle that really good offensive line, and the Eagles have a good defensive line. What areas can the Chiefs really excel and have an advantage in this game?
Well, I think defensively, this sort of plays into what they do well, which is the blitz. You know, there's certain quarterbacks, Josh Allen being one of them, it's hard to blitz him because he can run by you. He's been good against the blitz most of the year, and the Chiefs still were able to get, you know, their unblocked pressure late in the game, that 4th and 5 to kind of seal the game. And even then, you know, Dalton Kincaid has a chance to catch the ball and completely change the complexion of the game. So some teams are just more blitzable than others, and I think this team, the Eagles, is very blitzable, if you will. Like, Jalen Hurts doesn't handle pressure very well. He holds on the ball too long, and when he does hold on the ball, he takes a lot of sacks. This is a potential time when the Chiefs' defense can kind of play up to its strengths and play up to Steve Spagnuolo's strengths, which is how creative can you get and how can you send a certain type of pressure that is going to get there and not have a guy be ready for it. I think that's number one. That's one thing that the Chiefs can definitely exploit in that particular part of this. And then, I mean, outside of that, offensively, it's a tough matchup because of what the Eagles are, which is they're sound at all levels, and they're sound like, if you look at their pass defense, they're good over the middle, they're good to the left, they're good to the right. I mean, you really have to just take what is given to you, basically, against them. But The Chiefs struggled a couple weeks ago when they faced the Houston Texans and they had a couple of lockdown corners. And we know this Eagles team has some guys out there that can really shut you down. So I think this is going to be a collaborative effort for the Chiefs. And once again, I mean, we kind of go back to the Chiefs playing their hits, which is like Andy Reid getting 2 weeks to prepare for a team. And what can you scheme up and how can you get guys open when potentially, you know, your receiver struggled a couple weeks ago when they went up against really tight and sticky corners out there on the outside. So those are a couple things that I think if you're looking at saying that the Chiefs offensive and defensive coaching staff have a little bit of advantage and have an advantage when they get extra time to prepare, this is a really good team for that. You can create some pressure against Jalen Hurts that he has a struggle going against. You potentially can create some openings against the Philadelphia Eagles defense, which has been really good all year against the pass, but maybe the Chiefs can scheme something up to get themselves open like they did 2 years ago with the corn dog, like they did last year with Tom and Jerry. You know, there's always something up their sleeve, it seems like, especially in these big games.
Jesse Newell, our guest from the Kansas City Star, Chiefs beat writer. So instead of talking about this game, I want you to address what happens after this game. What kind of shape are the Chiefs in for the 2025 season? Their cap, free agents, what do they need to do to bolster their team and try to run it back perhaps, potentially, next season as well? Where are they in that regard?
The Chiefs have been really good about not putting too many resources into one season and kind of thinking big picture over time. Brett Veach, the GM for the Chiefs, admitted to us a couple months ago that like they were in on Marshon Lattimore as a potential cornerback to bring in, and they wouldn't have potentially tried to go and do that sort of move this year because the three-peat's out there. You know what I mean? They were a little bit more aggressive this year because they thought, hey, this is an opportunity to go make history and do something that no team has ever done before. So because of that and because of some of these things that happen, I mean, we know the Chiefs are like a stars and scrubs team right now. They go pay their stars. They pay Patrick Mahomes. They pay Chris Jones. They've paid big contracts to guys like Juwan Taylor, and even Travis Kelce remains, you know, the top of the market when it comes to tight ends. And so it's hard to keep all your guys, and this is sort of what the salary cap is meant to do, is to bring the top back toward the middle. They'll have limited cap space. They can clear some of that with Patrick Mahomes during a restructuring. They do that almost every single offseason, so they can clear some space there. But, you know, the biggest names you're talking about are a lot of the guys that they figure to lose into free agency because they're at the end of contracts, which would be Trey Smith, who's going to be one of the richest guards ever in the history of the NFL. With the contract he's going to get this offseason, Nick Bolton, who's been a stabilizing force in the middle of the Chiefs defense, Justin Reed, who has done nothing but win Super Bowls ever since he signed his 3-year deal with the Chiefs, three off seasons ago. Those are the main ones. And then, you know, some of the luxury picks too. Hollywood Brown, I mean, if he wins a Super Bowl here, and we've seen kind of his offense, the offense take a different form when he's been in there. You know, would he want to run it back with the Chiefs? Could they afford him in that sort of matter? So their cap situation isn't amazing. You wouldn't expect it to be amazing with all the other players that they have, and they've locked up long-term, and that's sometimes what a deal like, you know, signing Chris Jones to a long-term deal and basically doing it on his terms, that's what it does for you. It puts you a little bit more hamstrung when it comes to the offseason. But at the same time, I mean, we talked about this a couple weeks ago when you talk about you start with these good teams in the AFC West, and what are the things you start with? You start with the coach, you start with the coaching staff, and you start with the quarterback. And the Chiefs have all those things covered, and they'll have all those things covered next season. So it's not going to look too bad, but it will be interesting to see this offseason kind of where they divert their resources, the resources they have left, and what's at the top of their priority list. Because obviously, if they're going to keep a guy like Trey Smith around, they're going to have to clear some things out to make sure that sort of thing happens.
So we never do this because, you know, it might be a little bit hacky, but you're never, at least for a while, going to be on the show. We won't be able to hold you accountable. So who wins this game?
Listen, it's interesting. I just kind of referenced it on the top, guys. Like, I'm going to do a prediction for this game on Friday, and I feel like I'm going to write what I wrote 2 years ago. If you're going down the list of the roster and you're saying, okay, well, who has the advantage here? You probably say, well, the Eagles have a slight advantage in the run game. The Eagles have a slight advantage on their defensive line. The Eagles have a slight advantage in their coverage. The Eagles have a slight advantage. The Eagles have a slight advantage here. But then you get to what the Chiefs have become. You know what I mean? And you also get to the Patrick Mahomes factor, which we just can't ignore at this point. Patrick didn't play that great against the Texans. And, you know, I still picked the Chiefs to beat the Bills last week because it's like you just think in these moments he's going to play his absolute best. And we've seen his absolute best. I mean, I figure my prediction is going to be very close to what it was 2 years ago, which is like you can convince me that the Eagles are going to win this game. You can convince me that the Chiefs will struggle to stop Saquon Barkley. You can convince me, you know, that this is a time where the Chiefs, you know, their good run when it comes to close one-score games is going to run out at the wrong time. But you can add all those things up, and at the end of the day, I can also tell you that we've seen this script before. We saw it 2 years ago. We saw it in the last 17 games that they've won in one-score games, and we've seen it when Patrick Mahomes comes through in the biggest of moments or when Andy Reid needs a play call and pulls it out in the most clutch of moments. So my lean is the Chiefs. With this season and what they've done and the history of this quarterback and this coach, it's going to be really hard to pick against them until somebody dethrones the Kings. And so I don't have an exact score for you.
I think it's going to be somewhere close.
Yeah, so somewhere close to what it was a couple years ago.
I think I probably echo everything you said. But then I get to 2 years ago, the Eagles' number one running back was Kenneth Gainwell. It's Saquon Barkley now. I don't know. It's going to be a whale of a game. Jesse, as always, we appreciate your time. We know we never take it for granted. We know you're a busy guy, but you've always been great about coming on our show and talking about first KU basketball and football, and now the Chiefs, and thank you for doing that over these years.
Appreciate it, guys. I won't call it a retirement like Adam Teicher, but I congratulations on whatever you guys want to call this.
Thanks.
Thank you, Jesse. There's Jesse Newell from the Kansas City Star, frequent guest of our show. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll visit with Sunrise Academy boys basketball coach Kyle Lindstedt. Big tournament coming up this weekend here in our city. We'll get more of the details about that from Coach Lindstedt next.
They love it on Nebula. They're wild about it on Taurinus. Even on Motus, where they don't like anything at all, they eat it up.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
I don't need the stimulation and verification and validation and praise.
I totally don't know what that means, but I want it.
Jeff Lutz.
You do. You gotta be loved.
Eunice, meanus, usness, weenus, yournus, minus, ourness, happiness.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
I am so totally turned on right now, I could speak.
Stand by for action.
All right, we are back. Hour number two, the Bob and Jeff Show here on KFH Radio. Bob Lutz, Jeff Lutz with you. Happy to be joined by Kyle Lindstedt, the boys coach at Sunrise Academy here in Wichita. And Sunrise is our host for a big tournament coming up Friday and Saturday out at Neumann University, Air Capital Hoop Fest. Kyle, welcome to the show.
Hey, Bob, how are you?
We're doing well. We appreciate it. It's good to talk with you. Tell us a little bit about this tournament. It's all kinds of really good teams and all kinds of really good players. How do people make sure they can get out and watch some of this?
Yep. Well, we'll sell tickets at the events at Neumann University Friday and Saturday. This upcoming Friday and Saturday starts at 6 o'clock on Friday, and then there's two games. We play at the 8 o'clock game. And then on Saturday, it's at 4 o'clock and 6 o'clock. We play the late game both nights. So it's really just our league. It's the league that we're in. There's 14 teams in it. And this is the event that we host every year with our league. And each team, typically we fly to a place and everybody gets two games in. So you get a game both days, and then you go home. So that's what it's our opportunity to host, and it's just a good chance for guys for people to get out and watch us against opponents that are, you know, similar to us.
Yeah, I want you to talk about the schools that are coming here, but what has been kind of the evolution of these types of programs that travel? They're made up of high school students, obviously, traveling programs. It feels like Sunrise was among the first. I don't know if that's necessarily accurate, but how has that evolved over time? How many of these kind of schools are there now?
Yeah. You know, it's interesting there. I think there is an evolution, and there's more, but I think there's a lot that kind of come and go. There's a lot that kind of pop into it and then pop out of it, you know, with a player or two. But the schools in our league are the schools that have probably been there the longest. Like you say, I think we're one of those original schools or one of the founding members of this league. But it's different as sponsors come and go. Right now, Nike is actually sponsoring our league. So they've kind of bought into our league, and I think there's there's been some growth because of that. There's been some teams that they want in there, but I think there's also a growth in the fact that a lot of higher level high school players are looking to go this route, the prep school route, basically, and specialize in this sport. Because it's hard to get playing time. You know, if you're not a top 50 guy as a freshman, it's very, very difficult to get on the court, especially now that, low major guys are bought and they sit on the bench at these high major universities with the NIL. So it's almost like they're a JV team for some of these guys. So you better come in ready to play. And I think, the things that we do allow a better chance of being able to make impact right away.
Kyle Lindstedt, our coach, our guest, the head boys coach at Sunrise Christian Academy. So you mentioned NIL and all this that's going on now in the college ranks. You got, obviously, every year you have high major players at Sunrise. How has it changed? Are these players you have all... are they all going to go high Division I with the understanding that, okay, if they may... they may not play as quickly as maybe they used to get to play. Tell me what your perception is of this new age of especially college basketball.
Yeah, well, I think I always say that it's kind of a dark underworld, right? And it's now the dark underworld is exposed and we all know about it. And so we all deal with it maybe in the light. So I think there's some things there that, I don't, there's things that you wish weren't there. But I think obviously that's what we have to deal with for right now. And I just think that, there was always things going on behind the scenes with the old way things were, and people were just a little bit more naive to it. I think people kind of knew, but they didn't really know. And now you're dealing with agents, face to face, 16-year-old kid, and he's got an agent. And I'm dealing with the agent, and they have a vested interest in this now because the kid's going to get paid day one when he walks into college. So, and there's some parts of that I think, if you get the right agent, I think it's a really healthy thing because they're going to tell the truth to mom and dad and the kid, and then there's those that just tell them what they want to hear and. They move them for their own profit. So, there's a lot that's, to dislike, I think. And it's not so good, but there's also a side to it that, I think it's at least more uniformly above board case to case. And there are some good people in this thing still, just the same as there used to be. There's good people in it and there's bad people in it.
What was it, and you've been back at Sunrise for a few years now in a couple different capacities, I believe, but what mm-hmm. was it that brought you back initially and that particularly brought you back to the elite team?
Yeah, well, my wife and I met at Sunrise. Sunrise is family and it's home. So we Sunrise is a big part of our life and our family's life. My wife and I met there, went to school there, and we have six kids, and they've all gone there. The three that are out of the house and graduated and married now live in Wichita. So family was here. And, at some point you get a little bit worn out of just, you miss family, to be honest, and just traveling all the time. And I travel during the season now, but it's far less than I did, as a Division I assistant. And it's far less than I did with the Nets. So, I think now, just being able to be here and focus on my family and be around my family. To me, that's an important thing. And that's where I wanted to be. And I was, I got a basketball education. I went out and I experienced, all levels of basketball and, so grateful for the opportunities I had. And, I'm just super happy to be able to put that knowledge to use, at Sunrise, a place I love and care about. I think the mission and the focus of Sunrise is correct. And I think it's much needed in the world of Division I athletics, to give these guys a footing that's more than just about the game.
Sunrise Christian Academy hosting Hoop Fest Friday and Saturday at Newman University. Sunrise in action Friday at 8 o'clock against Veritas Academy. And then at 6 o'clock on Saturday against Link Academy. You've got another star-studded roster, but it's got quite a few juniors on that roster who are some of your best players. Take us through four or five guys that we should want to come out and see on Friday and Saturday.
Well, for sure I will. Our seniors, you know, we have some guys there that are pretty good. Noah Hill is a fun guy to watch. He's an above the rim guy. And Wichita State has been recruiting him, and he'd be a good player for them. He's a really, really athletic, tough dude, rebounds, defends. So he's fun to watch. But I'll leave the seniors out other than just to mention Noah because of Wichita State. But I'll talk about our four juniors. The first two I'll talk about are twins, Gavin and Gallagher Placide, 6'9 and 6'10. And they move really well for guys of that size. They've got great feet. They do a lot of things to help you win. They've got, I think they're, I don't get into the rankings as much, but I think they're like 4-star guys. And they, obviously they're in the growing process. Our nucleus is kind of young this year. We're trying to build and do it with the right guys. So these four juniors are pretty good, but the Placide twins do a lot of things to help you win. And they're getting better and better every game. They're from Colorado originally. And so Colorado's recruiting them. And, they probably have 3 or 4 schools from each of the Power Five conferences that are interested in them. The other two juniors that we have that are kind of noteworthy guys is Chidi Wiwe. Chidi Wiwe is a 5-star from New Jersey. And he's got interest from Kansas, Baylor, Illinois, all over the map for Chidi, I would say. So Chitty's a really fun player to watch. He's 6'6 with about a 7'2" wingspan. And he can really, he can score it in a lot of different ways. He can shoot it and bounce it a little bit. And he's a slasher and get to the rim. So, and then Aiden Cronister, he draws a lot of Grady Dick comparisons. He's a 6'7" shooter from Arkansas. And he's active and a motored up guy and can really, really shoot the basketball for us. So that's kind of, those four guys are kind of the young nucleus of what we have this year that, I would say get the most, run for us.
I feel like if a guy maybe went to Heights or something and was being recruited by Wichita State, that Wichita State would have some advantage. And we don't have to talk about any particular player, but for your guys who are being recruited by Wichita State, is there that same advantage? Does it matter that Wichita State is in town? Is that a factor?
Yeah, I think there is some advantages there for sure. First of all, they can go there and be exposed to them and see those coaches more often. And they can obviously see, the side of Wichita State. They can go to as many games as they want to. We're right here, so I think there's that advantage there. But it's not home for these guys, and so I think that's the big difference. Is anybody that would go to Heights, it would be home, and there's a huge value in that. But there's real interest. I mean, there's a few guys that'll come and just say, "Man, I wish Wichita State would recruit me. I kind of like this." So there is that. You get those occasionally, and then you get guys that Wichita State will show interest, and they're going, "Hey, this is not where I see myself." So it's kind of person to person, but I do think that there are some advantages for sure.
Well, Kyle, we look forward to it. I will ask you who's the best player not on your team that's coming to Wichita. It looks to me like just going through some of the information you sent to Jeff, Link Academy has the number 5 rated prospect in the country, Chris Cenac, who's committed to Houston. I would say he'd be a somebody you'd want to look at.
Yep. Chris Cenac is really, really good player. 6'10", 4 man, could shoot it a little bit, but he's plenty good. And I think that's one of the guys that's probably, obviously there's a lot of ranked guys there on that list, but I think Chris Senhack is probably one that's pretty fun to watch and sticks out.
Well, it should be a fun time at Neumann University coming up Friday and Saturday, two games each day in Hoop Fest, hosted by Sunrise Christian Academy. Thanks so much, Kyle. It's really a pleasure to talk with you.
Hey, thank you guys so much for having me on, and thank you so much for your program over the years. And I know it's been a ton of fun for this city to be a part of it. So appreciate all you guys have done as well.
All right, take care. Thank you for that. Kyle Lindstedt from Sunrise Christian Academy. As we move forward now, I just checked my phone. You know, in hour number one, we talked about my wife's ride to Wellington.
Right? Oh, yeah.
And she heard that. She's upstairs as we record the show. And rather than, you know, send me a text that placates me or soothes me and makes me understand that, yeah, you're still my everything, babe.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That kind of a text. She sends me the following text. He, meaning the guy
Carter
who
Green.
took her to Wellington. He speaks French fluently. Now, do you think I feel better? You think I feel better about everything?
You just got punked.
Do you think I feel better about everything?
Probably not.
Why is he talking French to my wife?
I don't know what his motivations are.
Amore. I mean, I don't need
I think that amore is Italian.
I don't care what it is.
When the moon hits your eye.
How do you say it in French?
I don't know. Je m'appelle
Jeff. But how am I supposed to feel about
that? Je m'appelle Bob.
Is that supposed to make me happier?
I don't think so.
Now what's she going to say now?
I don't know.
He had a 4.0 at Columbia. I mean,
I wouldn't be surprised, would you? He's a genius.
Well, what do I need to hear that for?
What language do you speak? Barely English.
Right.
Let me say it.
That wasn't that funny.
You almost said it.
No, I started to say something funny.
Like what?
I speak whatever language I need to.
Well, that's impressive.
At the
you
moment.
Need to speak German right now.
I speak whatever language comes to mind.
Swedish.
No, I don't speak Swedish.
Well, it came to mind. What's the deal?
All right, I have no idea where we are in time, but we're going to take a break. We had a nice interview there with Kyle Lindstedt.
We sure did.
We've had Brent Chemnitz. We've had Jesse Newell. We're just running through them here on a Tuesday edition. And up next is our friend Brandon Clark, the head football coach at Derby High School. He will join us next.
Little Bob here. It's America's 250th birthday. So, shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. We've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving and those signature Bobapedic seats. So stop into Bob's Discount Furniture or shop online at mybobs.com, where America shops for furniture.
Odyssey celebrates Father's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
From high school baseball to the men's NCAA College World Series to MLB and all the way to the National Baseball Hall of Fame, how will you make your mark in MLB The Show 26? Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane.
Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show on 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
The Motels, suddenly last summer, the last waltz, a musical theme of the show this week. Here is a frequent guest and a frequent winning coach from Derby High School, Brandon Clark, joining us. Brandon, hello. Welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, it is a pleasure. So what's Brett Flory up to down there trying to upstage you? You had a talk with him?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, he's doing some great things. I mean, he's always been a great coach here. And, man, he's got that team this year that they're just gritty and they play for each other, and they're a lot of fun to watch. So it's awesome to watch them have the success that they're having.
And Brett, the Derby boys basketball coach, they got one last night in nail-biting fashion, which they're making a habit of. They beat Junction City by 4 last night, so they remain unbeaten, Jeff.
Yeah, how fun is that to roll from football season into boys and girls basketball season? And Derby's very good at many other sports. But to just roll into just success after success, and I imagine it keeps the school pretty well abuzz.
Oh, yeah. You know, the really cool thing is everybody supports everybody. You walk through the halls, you go through, like, one of our PE classes or something. I mean, it's amazing how well everybody supports each other and cheers for each other. And it doesn't matter if it's football or wrestling or basketball or softball or baseball. Everybody's cheering on for everybody, so it's really neat.
Brandon Clark, our guest, longtime Derby football coach. So back when I went to high school, way, way back, football coaches, basketball coaches, they got a little time off, at least from their sport. But that's really not the case anymore, is it? I would imagine that you guys are always working on conditioning, weights, things like that. Is that accurate? What's your life like right now?
Yeah, well, it kind of never stops. You know, as soon as football season is over, you walk to the supermarket and everybody's asking about next year. So, yeah, right now we're our kids throw a little bit, just kind of on their own. We have that indoor turf facility, which is super nice. Year long, we lift at 6:30 in the morning. It doesn't matter if it's during the season, during the summer, during the winter, whatever. That's where we can get our kids in all together at the same time and lift, and then we'll run after that and do some flexibility stuff too. So it's always going. You know, they have the rules to where we can't really talk football or practice football until the summer hits. But once the summer hits, we can kind of incorporate some football stuff, have some camps, go to some paddy camps, and then, you know, that leads right up into the season.
When you've won state championships and played in state championship games, does a game like the one that ended your season last year, is that something you still carry with you? Or is it just something you've experienced? You maybe know how to move on easier from it. How do you kind of emotionally deal with that? Especially because there's just so much school left after the football season.
There is, but I don't know. I hate to lose. I'm that type of person, and when you kind of dedicate your whole year to that season, and you know, you have a lot of coaches that dedicate their time, and a lot of parents that dedicate their time, and obviously the kids that dedicate their time. It's it's always hard to lose that last one, but every team does it in 6A except for one. So, I thought we had a great season leading up to that state semifinal game, and then it was just kind of the perfect storm. We had three or four key guys kind of injured. We had four turnovers. I don't think our ones had I think they had one turnover all year. So it was just kind of that perfect storm. And if you coach long enough, you get to experience some of those games, and they're heartbreakers. You hate to see the seniors go out when you're hoping you could make it to state and hopefully win state, get another state title for the town of Derby. But, that's life. And in football, basketball, wrestling, baseball, anything, I mean, it teaches you a lot about life. As long as your kids kind of buy into that team concept, buy into getting better each and every day, and then, you know, leaving it all on the field. Don't be scared to go 100% no matter what you're doing.
Brandon Clark with us. He's a head football coach at Derby. So there's a winning legacy at Derby, as everybody knows. They've been winning for a long, long time. You have won at levels that even Derby didn't win at previously. But when you're the head football coach at Derby, and I'm asking you this as somebody I know who takes great care in the mental side of sports and athletics, how about for you? How difficult is it to know that, you mentioned it, you go to the grocery store a couple days after the season ends and people are talking about next year, and the expectations for Derby are always high, and even when you get to a state title game and you lose, it's like, dang, what happened? You know, that's just how it is at Derby. How about for you? How difficult is it to maintain your level of intensity and to be, you know, mentally positive about all this all the time?
Yeah, it takes a toll a little bit, but not much. I'm the last one that wants to lose a game. And if we don't win state here at Derby, it people think it's a failure year, you know. And so we've had a couple of those back-to-back, which I'd like to get away from. But, you got to have a supporting family. My family's, as long as we've lived here, it's been Derby football. My wife is my biggest cheerleader, my biggest advocate, and also probably the person that's probably the hardest on me when it comes to coaching and losing games and stuff like that. But we enjoy it. And I'll tell you, from the first year I started coaching, head coaching, to now, my passions have changed. I really, really dive deep into the culture of our program. I've got some really, really good assistant coaches that I can trust that they're going to get the game plans ready. You know, I barely ever say anything on defense. We've got an unbelievable defense staff. Our offense staff helps me out so much too. I call a little bit of offense just to keep the juices flowing. But it's just one of those things where you can always evolve with your culture. There's a lot of guardrails and things in life and parameters and borders. And when you think about the culture of your program and what you can do for the kids later on in their life and help them become great young men, I mean, there are no borders for that. I mean, there's so much stuff that we can be doing and we are doing, and just try to dream up of what can make this program a better program.
I'm interested in that culture part, and not to harp on a loss, but I'm interested because that was the end of your season. What would you have said to your team if you'd had another game? I know there was a message at the end of the game, but if you were preparing for another week and a game like that happened where it was just kind of fluke stuff, like you say, where you have turnovers and you never really do, and you know that culture is really important, how would you have kind of fallen back on that if you had another game the next week, and what would kind of the message have been?
Yeah. I mean, when you go into that state game, it's always kind of an emotional wreck. I find myself tearing up like almost every day leading up to that game, because that's about the only time you can choose when your last game is going to be. So, you know, it's coming down the way, you know, it's going to be on that Saturday or that Friday, how it was this year. But, when it kind of ends abruptly, you know, the kids know how much our coaching staff cares for them. They know how much their community cares for them. They know how much they care for each other.
You know, I just told him that don't let this game define you. This is, you know, this is not the season that we've had. We've had a fantastic season. It was a season where we barely had anything go wrong off the field, which was really nice, so we could really concentrate on football. But yeah, my message was about the same. If we would have won state, I would have said you guys are champions, not just on the field, but off the field. And that's what we said after our state semifinal games, that we had a locker room full of champions in there.
Brandon, throughout the years, we've always appreciated your time coming on our show and talking about Derby football, even all these years later. Obviously, I still have a strong connection to Derby and follow everything you guys do. Thank you so much, and we hope to touch base down the road somewhere.
Oh, for sure. And I thank you guys for being in our households and our cars and on the radio and just making us laugh and giving us some really good things to think about. And you guys do fantastic interviews. You guys have been a big part of a lot of these people's lives here in Wichita. So I thank you both for that. And I know how enjoyable it is to work with your son. I got to coach my son. So I know you guys had the time of your life. And thank you guys.
I wouldn't quite go that far, but thank you, Brandon.
Thank you.
You know it's true if you just won't admit it.
Take care. We appreciate you.
All right. We'll see you guys.
All right.
Thank you.
Nice. Yeah, you bet. Nice things from a guy I really think highly of. You know, that,
of course.
Is he young enough to be my son, you think?
He's probably a couple years older than me.
Yeah, I think he's in his mid-40s, so he could... He could very easily be a son, and that'd be quite a deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can always adopt him.
Not that I don't have a great son.
He's all right.
Huh?
He's all right.
Well, I mean, you're not competing for state titles.
Not this year.
You never know when you might.
He started college in 98, so he's probably 45.
Well, there you go.
There you go.
You know, it is. There's
plenty old enough to be your son.
Don't get anybody wrong. There's some melancholy to all this, and I'm feeling it for sure this week because these are all people that we're interviewing, and they all mean a lot to me. You know, it's not like we hang out. It's not like I'm going to see Brandon Clark for the Super Bowl, but I enjoy talking with him, and same can be said about Kyle Lindstedt, Brent Chemnitz, Jesse Newell, Steve Martin, Joe Auer.
Yeah, we have relationships with these
people.
All
the guests that we'll have tomorrow.
Who do we have tomorrow?
I haven't booked tomorrow's show.
All right, well, good luck.
We're working on it.
I'm sure you'll book a heck of a show.
Well, I do.
Jason Duda likely will not be here, but he may be.
I normally do book a heck of a show.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Have you filled out? We got Mike Furches, or are you waiting for him till Friday?
I may wait till Friday for Mike.
Yeah, he's one of our...
He's one of the guys.
Exactly. He's one of the cornerstones.
So, yeah, we may wait until Friday for Mike.
That's fair.
We may wait. That seemed to be tough.
We may wait.
That's a tough one to get out. We may wait.
Challenge.
We may wait. KU with a big win last night at home against Iowa State. Boy, Iowa State. They've got
reeling.
In the tank. Can't score. What happened?
I don't know what happened.
They can't score.
It's a mid-season malaise.
They were the highest scoring team in the country, and now they can't score.
Yeah, they've been something like 115 points over the last two games total.
Craziness. But anyway, KU looked pretty good. Got out and pleased their crowd. So they recovered from a little bit of a slump themselves. Shockers on the road tonight to face Charlotte. A team they beat here at Coke Arena, a team they should beat on the road, but we'll see.
How many of the next – do you have Wichita State's schedule up? Because this is the part of the schedule where if you're going to find some wins – I know they have Memphis at home. You might not be including that.
They should win at Charlotte.
But if they're going to find
some
wins –
South Florida. UTSA at home, they should win, but I don't know. Memphis – at home, doubtful. Tulane, UAB, North Texas on the road, Rice on the road. Rice is better this year if you look at their scores. None of these teams are very good except Memphis. But Rice is 11-11, although they have lost. Maybe stand by on what I said. They've lost
maybe
4, 5, 6, 7 in a row.
Poor Rice. What are you guys doing up there?
What do you mean up there?
Hey, down there in Houston, whatever.
Where did you think Rice was?
I know where Rice is.
No, tell me.
I know where
because
Rice
you
is.
You said, what are you doing up there?
You know what?
Did you think it was in Omaha? What did you think?
Just because the direction south is down on a map, it could still be up.
No, it's not, and nobody's ever done that.
When's the last time?
You know, I'm gonna go down to Canada one of these days, and I'm gonna have a whale of a time. Nobody said that.
When do you think the last time Rice was in the NCAA tournament?
I don't know.
Not in my lifetime.
They're terrible.
1970.
Feel bad for them down there.
Before that, 54.
Why are you wanting to change the subject?
What's the subject?
Up and down.
I don't care. It's just pejorative, man. It doesn't mean anything.
The road games for the Shockers are Charlotte, South Florida, Florida Atlantic, North Texas, Rice. A good team should be able to win 4 of those 5. The home games are UTSA, Memphis, Tulane, UAB, and Tulsa. A good team should be able to win 3 of those 5.
That's what I'm saying.
So if they don't go 7-3 the rest of the way.
No, 6-4. Thought they had 11 games, but you might be right.
7-3 the rest of the way would get them to 18-13. You could at least go through town and hold your head up high, I guess. Although, I don't know. This has not been a...
They're not going to beat Charlotte tonight, are they? I mean,
they've lost 7 out of 8. Their only win was against Charlotte in that stretch. It all started badly for this team, really, with that drubbing by Florida. Are we going to look back on that and say that just destroyed them?
I don't know.
They did come back and beat Alcorn State and East Tennessee State, but then they got hammered by DePaul. That terrible loss at home to Kansas City. But then they recovered to beat K-State.
Yep, that's the last.
If they played K-State tonight, what would be the line on that game on a neutral floor?
K-State, 10.5.
Be more than that.
No, I'm good at lines.
No, you're not.
I'm the best.
No.
Pull up a game.
You are absolutely not.
Pull up a game
not.
Tonight. Just
right.
Any game.
All right, you
just
want
throw
one?
Just throw a game at me.
All right. You want one?
Yeah, I do.
Here's one.
I don't even care if it's...
All right, a big game in Madison Square Garden tonight.
All right.
Marquette and St. John's.
Marquette
that's an easy
and
line.
St. John's.
Because they're both really good.
So I don't know that that's an easy line, but I would say St. John's by 2.5.
You looked it up.
No, I didn't.
All right, here's one. A decent Vanderbilt team at Florida.
Vanderbilt at Florida... Vanderbilt not as good as Florida. I'm going to say that's near double digits, but not quite. It's Florida by 8.5.
12.5.
Gosh darn it.
Not very good. Kentucky at Ole Miss.
Kentucky at Ole Miss. Whew, that's a tough one. Kentucky just got blasted.
Come on, man.
I'm thinking.
You were good.
I'm thinking about
good,
it.
Good people on lines don't need to think.
Yeah, they. Of course they do. That's all they need to do is think. Kentucky just got blasted. Ole Miss just got blasted. Ole Miss is favored by 1.5.
4.5.
Ah!
You're not that good.
This is hard, man. Next!
I thought you said you were good at this.
Oh, just give me a game.
Here's one. Oklahoma State at Houston.
Oklahoma State at Houston.
This is an easy
Oklahoma
one.
Oklahoma State's terrible. Houston is good, but they don't score a ton, so I'm not going to get crazy. Houston by 17.5.
21.5.
Goodness!
This isn't going that well.
Too many. Too many points.
Here's a good one. Baylor at Texas Tech. That's a good game now. Baylor at Texas Tech.
Texas Tech is going to be favored in that game by a slim margin of 3.5.
7.5.
No way! Give me Baylor all day and night.
Kansas State, late game tonight, at Arizona State. Kansas State at Arizona State.
Arizona State's favored by 5.5.
2.5.
I was going to go
You're
low.
Not even close.
I was going to go low, but every time I've been high.
You're not even close
or
on
low
me.
Or something.
Here's a good one in the Big 12. Late start. 10 o'clock. Can't do it. Arizona at BYU.
Whew. Is BYU, what's BYU's record?
No, that's something you better
BYU's
know.
BYU's good.
They're not that good. They're not ranked.
They're okay, but Arizona State's still favored by 7.5.
BYU by 2.5.
What? Give me Arizona.
Have you been horrible?
I don't know anything about BYU.
I thought you said you were really good at lines.
I am when I know the teams. Give me another.
Most of them you've claimed to know.
Give me another just wild card game.
Here's one. Oklahoma, which was really good early.
Not so much.
Hasn't been as good lately. At Auburn.
Oh, Auburn's going to just roll with this. 13.5.
17.5.
Ah.
You haven't been within 4. I mean,
well, let me give you one.
Well, I just looked at them.
Well, I'm going to give you NBA.
All right. Well, that's not as NBA is harder.
It's not harder. They're closer.
You never know who's not going to play. NBA, I wouldn't touch an NBA game.
We have the Mavericks, sans Anthony Davis. He won't be playing tonight. At the 76ers.
Both teams wrecked. Who knows? I'll say that I'll say Dallas, even without Anthony Davis, by 3.
76ers by 4.5.
I don't see that. The NBA is not. You got to give me college.
How about Celtics at Cavs tonight?
Celtics at Cavs.
Yeah.
Cleveland by 2.5.
Celtics by 1.5. It did open with Cleveland by 2.5. So you're not completely off base there. Is there any other good game? How about Lakers at Clippers? No Luka, of course.
Clippers by 4.5.
8.5.
Really? Oh, the NBA, I've never claimed to be an NBA.
It's hard.
No, college I'll be all over.
No, I'll ask you next week some games in college.
Well, we're not here next week.
What about Pacers Trailblazers? What's the line on that one?
Indiana by 7.5.
5.5. But Portland's been playing better lately.
Well, they got good young talent, but they're not ready to.
They're not anywhere in the mix.
They're still not very good.
But they've been playing a little bit better. DeAndre Ayton had 20 and 20 last night,
okay.
I believe.
Let's not get too excited.
Okay. They're playing better. That's all I'm saying.
Here we are, February the 4th. We've got pitchers and catchers reporting, I believe, early next week. Am I right about that?
Kind of late next week, I think, typically.
No, I think pitchers and catchers report on the 9th.
Okay, well, that's...
That's Sunday.
Yeah, there you go.
And then we have spring training games starting on the 17th is what stands out to me.
I'll take your word for it.
I think I'm close to right on that.
I'll ask you a question I was asked today when I was very much put on the spot. Outside of the hyped up players, name an acquisition that kind of flew under the radar that you feel was impactful or underrated during the baseball offseason.
What?
An underrated offseason acquisition that will pay dividends over the course of this season.
Huh.
It's hard, isn't it?
Well, I have to think.
Yeah.
I would say that, does Kyle Tucker count?
Yeah, I don't know. That's, maybe another one of theirs. Maybe like Presley for them or something.
He's a star going to the Cubs, so that may not count. I would say that something that would fit into that category, I'd probably say maybe Paul Goldschmidt, because I think he'll be a better hitter at Yankee Stadium. I think the change of scenery will do him good. He's going to be 38.
That's a good one. I should have said that.
But it could be. Well, who did you say?
Jonathan India.
For the Royals?
Yeah.
I thought you didn't like the Royals.
I couldn't. You know, dude, when you're in the chair.
Well, I'm in the chair
right now.
When
you're in the hot seat.
So you wish you'd have said Goldschmidt.
That's a good one.
He's a prideful guy. He'll be a good Yankee.
I'm not sure it'll pay off, but that's a good answer. I don't know if he'll regain what he had.
No, I never said he'll regain what he had. He will not be an MVP candidate, but he could hit 25 home runs and drive in 85 runs and bat 270.
Take the under on 25 homers, I think.
Okay, you can take the under on 25.
We'll settle that.
23 last year.
We'll settle that in October.
In a cavern. He'll hit 25 in Yankee Stadium.
Yankee Stadium isn't great for right-handers.
It's not bad. He likes to go the other way, too.
Well, then that'll help him.
Well, I should have gotten this gig.
What gig? I don't know what you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about. This guy wouldn't know what. He couldn't get to the hiring contract quick enough.
This was just, we were talking at the office.
You know what I'm saying.
I don't. I have no idea.
He would have been so flustered by me.
Okay.
Give me another one.
What about, here's another hot spot question I was asked. If you looked at two pitchers who had the same ERA and general statistics, what stats would you look at to be able to separate them?
Same ERA.
Same age.
Innings
pitched.
Yeah, I'd look at recovery rate, how often they could pitch. I'd look at same ERA.
Yeah. Yeah, fired.
Huh?
Fired.
I'd look at whip.
You would? I said strikeouts for one. Batting average on balls in play, I said.
Did you fumble around with it?
I lost my train of thought, but I don't think I fumbled.
Well, forgot
what I was answering for a minute. But
losing a train of thought can't probably not great.
I think I recovered okay.
Well, we'll see. I just shivered there. What happened to me?
You got the chills.
Does that ever happen?
When people get the chills? Yeah, that happens.
That hasn't happened to me in years.
Sorry to hear that.
I just got cold all of a sudden.
It's kind of cold down here.
No, it's not. Feels good down here.
Well, you got a big overcoat on.
Where is my outlet? There, right above your head.
See, that's probably why it's
right
cold.
Above my head.
Yeah.
So we're doing okay. What's the weather supposed to be like tomorrow? Supposed
to warm up a little bit. And then cold next week.
Yeah, we'll deal with it.
I'm tired of it already. I know it's only February. We're not even close to probably the worst of this.
What do you mean that we're probably not even close? It's February, man. Once March gets here, it's all good.
No, we still have stuff in March all the time and February.
No.
We may have seen the most snowfall we're going to get, but we're going to have some days.
We start League 42 outdoor practices March 10th.
Good luck.
It'll be warm.
All right, that's it
for a Tuesday. Three more shows on the countdown. Here on the Bob and Jeff Show, KFH. Thanks to Max. Thanks to our guests, Brent Kimnitz, Jesse Newell, Kyle Lindstedt, Brandon Clark. We'll have another star-studded show for you tomorrow. Have a good night.
Odyssey celebrates Father's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
From high school baseball to the men's NCAA College World Series, to MLB, and all the way to the National Baseball Hall of Fame. How will you make your mark in MLB The Show 26? Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's absolutely refreshing!
Hey y'all, Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze. Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.